such as chlorine, atrazine, styrene, and MTBE. These elements also reduce unwanted heavy metals such as lead, mercury, and aluminum. Unbelievably, they even remove small microparticulate from water like food coloring particles. Yet, they leave in the nutritional minerals that your body needs. Moreover, because they are recleanable, black Berkey elements are more economical than the standard disposable elements, providing fresh, pure water for less than 2 cents per gallon.
Get a two.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you of the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and, well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Michael Shaw from Freedom Advocates, an organization dedicated to teaching the American people that we are under attack today. There is a program called Sustainable Development. And, of course, it is being implemented through something known as Agenda 21, the master agenda for the 21st century. It is coordinated by people of great wealth and great power. It is operating in your community. It is the common denominator behind so much of what's going on in the world. Its goal is to destroy the living standards of the American people, impoverish our people, and ultimately enslave our people. And with that as a background, Michael Shaw, thank you so very much for being with us again.
Well, it's always a pleasure, Dr. Stan. And, it may ring hard for people in the audience in some locales, but, boy, it is a beautiful day on the California coast today, is it not?
It certainly is. In fact, I've talked to people back in Greenville this morning, and Greenville, South Carolina, it was about 2 degrees temperature when they got up in the morning. It was up to about 20 degrees. It was still freezing outside, and I didn't want to tell them how beautiful it was here.
Yes. Well, the beauty may not be all good news because, of course, it's not raining. Hasn't been raining in a long time. It isn't expected to rain anytime soon. And lots of hay will be made locally by the sustainable activists for using that as a reason to extract the property ownership over water aquifers from overlying landowners. That pressure has been going strong in California for a long time. When California, which once had the strongest water laws protecting private property in the world, here in Texas, begins to fall prey to the attack on water, which the drought, either coming naturally or coming with the help of the agents of HARP, the drought is a matter that Californians need to be concerned about as our politicians use that as an excuse to take another step toward the abolition of private property.
Well, I would simply point out that Zbigniew Brzezinski, who is currently the foreign policy advisor behind the scenes for Barack Obama, Zbigniew Brzezinski, writing in his book in the early 70s entitled Between Two Ages, and the book, you can get it on the Internet, it'll cost you $100 to $200. They're actively suppressing this book. Why? Because there, on one of the footnotes between pages 55 and 65, and we'll be glad to provide the pages for you if you'd like, why he talks about how in the future, and he's writing, remember, 35 years ago, we're going to, in the future, be able to create storms and droughts. Well, whether this drought is coming from God or coming from Zbigniew Brzezinski and the elitist he represents, God only knows. But certainly they were planning on creating droughts, and I think that they can produce them. I think they can control the weather. And what better way to control the people than to control the water? Why would anybody want to do that? Why, very simply because they want to control us. And with that as a background, go ahead, Michael.
Well, the dynamic behind sustainable development generally is so much easier, more easily understood when people can grapple with and reconcile dynamics like the politics of water. You know, and there's so many items, the politics of global warming, the politics of the fiat system of money. In fact, if we want to get to the real bedrock that supports the whole sustainable development movement, it can't be fully digested without one's understanding the nature of fiat money.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. My guest this afternoon is Michael Shaw. He's the director of Freedom Advocates. And, of course, you can go to their website on the Internet at freedomadvocates.org, but or perhaps it's .com. We'll let Michael tell you later. But anyway, of course, Michael is dedicating himself to educating people about this move to sustainable development because they really want to take away your property rights. They want to take away your water rights. They want to limit the amount of water that you can use and that you can flush down your toilet and you can use to wash your dishes. And if you're farming, the amount of water you can use in your garden or on your fields. They want to limit everything that you do. And, of course, they're using the so-called threat of the environment to justify a massive expansion of government control over every aspect of life. Well, there's nobody who understands what's going on better than Michael. He's right on the front lines of this battle, trying to educate people all across America. Michael, you pick up the story.
Well, when people can understand generally the nature of the sustainable development objectives, is to understand its core, its operation, and then when they know the nature of the self-described action plan for sustainable development implementation, then they can put that in the context of today's political economics as we watch deflation afflict the ordinary person. The price of goods is going down. That's good news. But the globalist objective in seeing this happen is that they also cause our debt to become magnified. Deflation magnifies the power and the control that debt has over people. And so a good course of action for just that reason to be taking today, once you get a basic smell of the sustainable development globalist program that's domineering our politics today, will continue from Bush to Obama without interruption, is if we can understand the objectives, we can begin to see how it's playing out in our communities and across the country.
And I think it's important that people understand that the whole financial crisis that we're witnessing is all these created. I mean, certainly it took them a long time to get all these predatory loans in, and then, of course, get people who could never afford a home to buy these homes. They gave them nothing down, no payments for 2 years, and then they took that mortgage and they bundled it up and they put it with a lot of other mortgages, and then they sold these as triple-rated guaranteed bonds with derivative insurance policies behind them. And they did this intentionally, and the people who tried to block this from going on were the people who came under vicious attack by the government. They wanted the crisis.
Well,
this is Dr. Stan, and our guest is Michael Shaw. We're talking about, of course, what's going on today, and, of course, Michael is simply talking about sustainable development, which is really a key phrase to be used to describe the organized effort to control every aspect of our lives. And, of course, he brought up the fact that so much of what's going on, at least today, is dependent upon the fraudulent money system we have, a fractional reserve monetary system that allows banks to create money out of nothing and then loan it out. And then, of course, when this whole house of cards comes tumbling down, they say, well, we've just got to take and create more and more and more and more money. And, of course, what they're going to do is destroy the value of our currency, impoverish our people, destroy our pension funds, and they know exactly what they're doing because poor people will be much easier to control than affluent people. But you go right ahead, Michael.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the sustainable objectives. You know, it's important to understand, as we both referred to, the fiat system, because that's what enables the establishment of something so grandiose as sustainable development, the effort to centralize control over all human action, now and for all time. It includes, trying to jump through a bottom line, It includes, by virtue of their own published documents, a reduction in human population of about 85%. Now, with that as an introduction, if the globalized system for a one-world government continues under the direction of men like George Bush, Senior and Junior, Barack Obama, Bill Clinton, and every other major player on our American political landscape, if the program that they have adopted for implementation in accordance with globalist standards continues much longer, we will find a destroyed dollar and a fully implemented sustainable development life. Now, let's just talk about the three broad objectives of sustainable development. First is land use. It is a corollary to sustainable development policy and philosophy that private property be abolished. A lot has happened already to put us way down that path, but the final steps will be particularly painful because when the final steps are taken and they're moving very quickly, you will have no freedom. George Washington said, private property and freedom are inseparable. Now, you may find academics in this country who say, George Washington is a silly old dead man, and that doesn't mean anything. But if you want to think about freedom, how free would you be if the government suddenly exercised all control over yours, your neighbors, your families, private property, your homes, your cars, your modes of transportation, your libraries?
But, of course, you know, they're really doing this in many ways, Michael. Certainly you can't build on your property. You can't add on to your home without a government permit. And believe me, of course, if you're one of those favored by the government, you get the permit right away. If you're not, they can make your life very miserable. You can't develop your land. Certainly we are restricted in so many ways by the government's interference in our lives. And when at one time people were free and you could do what you wanted to with your property, they can always justify a new bureaucratic rule and a massive expansion of government checking, or even watching what we do with our property from satellites so that they can spy on every American. What possible right do they have to do that? They have no right under our Constitution, but they don't believe in a Constitution. They believe in bureaucratic control of every aspect of human life. And they want to control our water, and certainly they want to ration our access to water. And they're going to use this drought, whether it's real or certainly God construed, we don't know. But they will, down the line, use the shortage of water to control the populace. But you go right ahead.
Well, the second major objective, first is the abolition of private property. It just comes step by step. I mean, we've been in that process now for a long time, and it is accelerating. I can say that from personal experience. But moving on to the second of the three objectives is an educational transformation. Now, that's somewhat stated in the past, because I think education has been transformed. How many children do you know age 13 can explain to you the nature of America's foundation, the idea of the government's recognition of each person's unalienable right? If you ask the average 12 or 13-year-old today what unalienable rights were, they'd have to make up a wild guess because they've had no exposure to the concept that made the Declaration of Independence the greatest achievement of mankind's history. When we think about that, and we think about how education has been transformed, we can begin to understand the nature of the second major component of sustainable development, which is to establish an educational system designed to indoctrinate youth for global governance. Children are being prepared as the first generation of the new one world order. Now, if you've got a fifth grader and you think, oh, baloney, then you have put your head in the sand. If you have school-age children and you think, oh, I know that this Shaw fellow is right. I mean, our national education system is a mess. I mean, the government spends more money on education at the federal level than anything going, and what the heck is the federal government doing in local education anyway? You know, but our local schools, people will say, no, we're not subject to that. Well, you're mistaken about that, because sustainable development, educational policy, and land use policy is in every county in America. Every county. It includes yours. Every government-funded school district. That's yours. Your children are in institutions that have as its purpose the transformation of America into a free nation that recognizes the unalienable rights of each and every person, into America, a component in a world global governance system run on standards, philosophies, and practices that we'll talk about in a few minutes. The third major objective of sustainable development is human population control. That means what we do and how we do it. And reduction. At the outset, I made reference to 85% reduction in the human population. That comes from page 773 of the UN's Global Biodiversity Assessment Report. Now, there is no question, as America implements its land use element of sustainable development, it is implementing the UN's Global Biodiversity Assessment Report. Now, the population reduction doesn't come till later. So one can't say, well, America is not reducing population now, and there's no reason to think it'll do that later or join in those kinds of programs. Well, I think that when one evaluates and makes the study of sustainable development specifics, and one looks at policy implementation today, whether it was Clinton or Bush, and Obama is announcing daily an acceleration of the implementation of sustainable policies, doesn't always do that obviously directly by referring to sustainable development, but when you understand the policies of sustainable development and the objectives of sustainable development and the governing documents of sustainable development ideology, you see that America is just falling right down the line. And with it, we begin to see the real rattle, which is the destruction of our money system. Well, destroy our money system, catch the citizens by surprise, and it'll be real easy to jam down the rest of the sustainable development political economic agenda. Without an awareness of that, without knowing what we're fighting, we don't have a chance. Now, my suggestion for people, if they, you know, hear this and think, well, maybe that's possible, my suggestion is to do enough study to assure yourself that I'm not whistling Dixie. Sustainable development, I can just tell you, is a real policy objective supported by all the globalists. You can go to the web and find 1,000 ways, 1,000,000 ways to discover that. You go to freedomadvocates.org, you know, we've got things organized, and the picture becomes a bit sharpened, I think. And it's an efficient way to gain some insights there. But to understand that population reduction is in line under sustainable policy, and to continue to attack the essence of private property in this country, and to continue to indoctrinate our children into globalist goals, it's getting us into a deeper and deeper hole, and we need to stop digging.
Well, I think it's important. People understand there is a population control agenda. They actually came out with a government report. We have it available. It's called the National Security Study Memorandum 200, or NSSM 200. It's rather large, so if you want to get it from Radio Liberty, you can, or you can pull it down off the Internet, but we have it already in bound. And then, of course, where they say the major thrust of American foreign policy will be population control. It came out in 1974 over the name of that wonderful American patriot, Henry Kissinger. And then, of course, you have to understand there are many, many writings by the people about the necessity of dramatically reducing the number of people allowed to live on Earth. Anybody can go back to Elberton, Georgia, see the occult, satanic monument there. It's called the Georgia Guidestones. I've been there a number of times. You can see pictures of them up on my internet site, where they talk about the necessity of maintaining the world population at 500 million, constant balance with nature, which doesn't sound too bad unless you understand there are well over 6 billion people now, so they're going to have to kill off over 95% of the, or at least 90% of the world's population. These people, why do you think that they are so much in favor of abortion? Why is there such a drive for euthanasia? Why have we never come up with an effective treatment for AIDS? Because there are lots of effective treatments. In fact, where did AIDS come from? Well, I believe it was man-made. And, of course, they're not telling the truth about the mycoplasma involvement in that. Or the fact that there are very, very excellent treatments, but they're not using them, and you have to ask yourself why. And why is the incidence of cancer increasing so much? Well, Michael, you go right ahead.
Well, you made reference to Henry Kissinger. Kissinger made news this week in an article that he wrote for the International Herald Tribune, which is the international newspaper of the New York Times. He writes about the rapidly, what he's characterizing as the rapidly unfolding economic depression and the accompanying misery for billions of people. It creates, quote, this generates a unique opportunity, writes Kissinger, for creative diplomacy in order to usher in a new world financial order and force sovereign nations, he says, to, quote, face the reality that its dilemmas can be mastered only by common action. Well, what he's talking about there is to create a one world government and a new world order under the United Nations. It's reported here that Kissinger repeats the phrase New World Order several times in the article. But it goes on to show how a guy who was Secretary of State, Republican administration, caused a lot of concern for people back then, but now his true colors and associations are open for the world to see as they rush for the finish line. I mean, I think we're talking a short period of time before they get to what they call the finish line, which is where they have all the world under the control of a very small elite. That elite controls the United Nations. That elite comes out of globalist banking interests. That's why we need to understand fiat currency. But when people begin to see how fiat currency can feed for a system as demonic as sustainable development, people can begin to understand the risk we're at. So when you begin to get that, and it's not too hard today as you look around at the political economics of our time, to know that something is severely off kilter. Understanding sustainable development, as ugly and painful as it may be, will give you the comfort of understanding. Because when you understand, you can do things like get out of debt. Faster the better. Your home debt's not the worst debt because you don't have to pay it back, you just have to lose your house. But credit card debt and other debt, that if your bank goes down and you lose your cash and you owe the debt and the system collapses, well, I don't think within the New World Order you want to be subscripted as a debt-owing slave. Remember, we're vacating the U.S. Constitution. We're doing what the GOP says in a website called the International Democrat Union. The GOP is a leading member of that organization, and that organization is dedicated, in its own words, to the universal adoption of the United Nations Declaration of Human Rights. That means the GOP has as its primary purpose the abandonment of the United States Declaration of Independence. When you do that, the cornerstone for the Constitution is gone, and we live under a world order. Now, that's the GOP.
And the Democrats are even worse. So we got a real problem, you know, because you really do not have an alternative between Socialist Party A, Globalist Party A, and Socialist Global Party B. We'll be back in here in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is, of course, Michael Shaw. We've just been talking about the fact that both the leaders of the Republican Party and the Democrat Party are globalists. We've had the largest expansion of federal debt and government control of our lives during the Bush administration, and the Republican congressmen and senators, most of them went right along with it. There were a few that had the courage to stand up, but most of them went right along with George Bush's programs of torture and war, and, of course, the largest expansion of federal spending in all recorded history, the largest federal deficits in all recorded history, the largest trade deficits in all recorded history. Why would he have got along with that? Why, of course, because we have a system where things are controlled from the top down, not from the bottom up. Our elected representatives get their money to run for re-election by people of great wealth who buy and sell their favors and, of course, direct their votings. And this is what it's really all about. And it's time we had people who represented the public rather than the special interests serving in Washington, D.C. And that is, of course, why, of course, the members of Congress voted actually to give $700 billion, of course, to Wall Street, you know, to help bail them out. And, of course, we didn't bail them out of debt. They weren't in debt. They've got plenty of money, and they're just salting this away. And this is the greatest transfer of wealth we've ever seen. The Fed has also given another $2 trillion. That's two T, Tom, terrible $1 trillion. But they won't tell the members of Congress who they've given it to. They've just given it away, a great transfer of wealth, but that's your wealth, ladies and gentlemen, because they're going to inflate our money, destroy your life savings. You will be impoverished, and the wealthy will be wealthier than ever. Go right ahead, Michael.
Well, I think that's exactly right, only I think they've got an even worse twist, kind of a little spike on the arrow they're sticking in people, and that is that at the Main Street level, you know, today I must have seen three articles in newspapers talking about the deflation, the worst deflation since the Depression. You know, prices on many items are going down as people's pricing system is challenged, and their debt system is going to become frozen, and that's going to work a bad thing on them. But while this deflation is happening, on one hand, the real money supply is wildly inflating. So we're going to have a crash collision between these forces of deflation and inflation, and that, in my view, it only sets the stage for gigantic monetary implosion.
Of course, that really is, of course, the worst of all worlds. They call it stagflation, where you have, you know, rising, where you have this increasing money supply. You have, of course, a collapse of the economy, and but you can have a collapse of the economy and still having a skyrocketing of prices, and I think that this is going to, of course, wipe out so many people. The real rate of inflation is well over 17%. Now, that's the regular inflation, unemployment. Now, that is the people who have been had to take jobs where they get dramatically less or work part-time, and then the people who have simply given up. 17% of the population are unemployed today by those standards. But we can't let the American people know how bad things are, or this is all engineered by the elite who control both political parties, and they certainly control Barack Obama. Go right ahead, Michael.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the Sustainable Development Action Plan, and then maybe wrap up by going back to some comments, quick comments I made earlier about ideas about how people can prepare themselves. But the action plan for sustainable development runs on an engine that they often call the three E's. The three E's of the action plan of sustainable development. Those three E's are equity, which means a system of justice, economics, and environment. Now, the three E's work like this. The equity E calls for a system of, quote, social justice. Now, that stands in contrast to the principles of equal justice. Equal justice is what the War of Independence was all about, was to establish a system of equal justice. Sustainable development, many judges, law schools in this country teach sustainable development, teach social justice, and many judges practice social justice, and proudly so. Social justice means that your rights are dependent upon the society's objectives and your group status. Equal justice means that every individual has rights they're applied equally to each.
I think it's so interesting that Timothy Geithner, of course, is a member of the Trilateral Commission, member of the Bilderbergers, member of the Council on Foreign Relations, member of the Group of 30, currently president of the First Federal Bank of Federal Reserve Bank of New York City, but he's being nominated for the Secretary of the Treasury. And now we find out he didn't pay about $40,000 in taxes. Now, what do you think would happen to you or I if we intentionally didn't pay $40,000 in taxes and then we wanted to pay it? We'd end up in prison. But you see, we have a two-tiered justice system. We have one for the elite, and of course, Mr. Geithner is a member of the elite. And, of course, then there's the common people like you and I. We'll be right back in a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here. Go right ahead, Michael.
Well, the second E that I referred to earlier was economy. Sustainable development seeks to change the economics of society from one of private property and free enterprise to a system that they call public-private partnership. In the old days, you know, when I was growing up in the 50s and 60s, public-private partnership, well, Schindler was a private partner to the public agencies of Hitler. Economic fascism is what public-private partnership is. There's no way you can go out and start a business if you're competing against another business who, for every mistake it makes, gets bailed out by government. Public-private partnership is what is happening with the banks today. And you can say, well, under the fiat system, they've always been public-private partners. I'm not going to argue against that. But today it becomes apparent. The government takes ownership interest in the bank while it gives us the taxpayers' money. Now, that's all about government and business teaming up together in the economic world. That is the economics of sustainable development. That is what's happening in the United States and around the world. It has been tried before. It's fascism. It will end up with the same social consequence that occurred in Italy and Germany when Mussolini and Hitler adopted public-private partnership or economic fascist principles. So, you know, we're beginning to see, and there's thousands of examples, and you can go to Freedom Advocates to find a lot of them. We're beginning to see that we are deeply immersed into sustainable development policy application already. Now, you can find out why. I mean, you can trace it easily to George Bush first and Bill Clinton. Of course, it accelerated under George Bush Jr., and it's going to go off the charts with Obama. You know, Obama is the man chosen by Brzezinski, the man you talked about earlier in the show, very insightfully. So the economy is not just about creating a new system of economics to replace free enterprise and private property. It's also about creating an international economic order. And so those two goals sustainable development are clearly evidenced with trade policy and the abandonment of sovereignty issues on issues of trade matters, of the combination of multinational corporations with governments and multinational governments like the United Nations all over the place and accelerating.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment. Our guest this afternoon is Michael Shaw. And Michael, of course, is talking about this whole concept of sustainable development. Is a very well-organized plan, organized by the elite, in the name of giving all power to them, because, of course, we have to protect the environment. Oh, we have to protect the snails. We have to protect the butterflies, and yet so much of what they're doing, you know, with their genetically altered plants is to destroy the environment, but they can't let the American people know that. They're not interested in the animals in the forest. They're actually encouraging the destruction of our forest by letting the forest fires burn. In fact, Michael even was at a meeting where one of the high government officials said our policy is not to let the forest burn, it's to make the forest burn. But you see, they can't tell the American people what they're really up to. But before we go on, Michael, I want you to tell our listeners how they can get in touch with Freedom Advocates, what they will get if they go there, and why they need to have your information so they can be effective in this truly spiritual battle for the souls of men and the survival of Christian civilization.
Well, you can get to us easily enough. It's freedomadvocates.org on the web. When you get there, you know, there's several paths you can take. There's hundreds of hours of audio separated by subjects within sustainable development. And there's plenty of video, myself and others giving talks with PowerPoints that are very effective at general explanations. And then you'll find articles and research center that you can study as to specific issues, broader issues of sustainable development, how the action is being implemented from across America and into Canada and over to Great Britain and on to Australia and New Zealand. I mean, the English-speaking countries are beginning to figure this out, are beginning to coordinate within each other. You know, it's all having to come from citizen involvement, because there's nobody else that's going to do our work, because as some British writers early in the decade wrote, you know, sustainable development holds a carrot for everybody. If you're willing to sell your soul and the soul of your neighbor, you can have a short-term sweet carrot. But at the end of the day, it's a narrow elite acting as God and dictator over the masses, the number of which is to be massively reduced. Those who will sell their soul can become the slave masters. And that's what our political economic process today has become. Our enterprise is in trouble, deep trouble. Parental training and management of their kids has been at least temporarily lost. And the population reduction programs, we can begin to see a rising all around us.
And I really think we're moving into a period of chaos and crisis. We certainly see this over in Salinas, which is not far from where you and I live, where, of course, the number of people are being simply gunned down in the streets, usually running six or seven a year, and then, of course, the year before last, it was 14. This last year was 25. The first 3 weeks of this year, already six people have been gunned down and murdered on the streets of Salinas. I think we're going to be moving into a period of chaos and crisis all across the country. And people wring their hands and say, what could we do? Well, maybe we ought to put God back in our schools. Maybe we ought to teach values in our schools. Maybe we ought to even have discipline in our schools and tell young people that thou shalt not kill. But, of course, we couldn't post the Ten Commandments on the walls of a schoolhouse, because that would be unconstitutional, wouldn't it? Go right ahead, Michael.
Well, and that's a very salient point, because our problems do get right down to the basics. And our basics have been taken off track. Everybody's been split up and divided on every issue that, you know, that when seen with the common light of each individual, being ready to be respectful of the freedoms of others while they exercise responsibly their own freedoms. Without a massive government monitoring, taxing, controlling, watching, and dictating your every move, it's that function that has led us to this brink of disaster. Because when the Declaration of Independence falls, if it does, freedom is over.
Well, they don't even really teach this in schools now. Many of our textbooks, when they talk about the Declaration of Independence, they leave out any mention of a creator. Why? Because, oh my goodness, that's a wall of separation between church and state, and we raise our children without any knowledge of God at all. And then we wonder why they act as if there were no God that they would ever have to stand before and justify their actions. Go right ahead.
Well, the third element of the Sustainable Development Action Plan, first is equity, meaning the system of justice. Second is economics, meaning transforming our economics from laissez-faire to fascism. And the third element is the environment. Someone might have been saying, well, nobody in America wants a communist system of justice and a fascist system of economics. Nobody wants that. This isn't a threat. Well, those, the people who make it a threat are those who support the government and the NGO's program with regard to the environment. The environment is the grand cover for the transformation of our systems of economics and governance. The environmental movement that shapes this action is a fraudulent movement. It is a movement designed to obliterate an owner's right to the use and enjoyment of his property. That's the purpose of the environmental movement. You know, it is also designed to distract the public from what it is that the political leaders here and around the world are doing as they dash out in the open. I mean, it's pretty obvious stuff once you get the framework. They're out in the open now trying to get to the other side where they will have total control over everything. The problem today, you know, if somebody said that 100 years ago or 50 years ago, you know, you'd respond, they can't watch everything. They may have this vision of the all-seeing eye in the sky, but they can't do that. Well, the reality is today they can. With satellites and RFID technology and the NAIS movement going on, there are examples after examples after examples of exactly how they can put together the pieces now and know where we are and know what we're doing. It is the vision of the 1984 scene when the television was watching the occupants.
And I think it's really so interesting. Of course, you know, they justified these spy satellites because, oh, we had to protect ourselves from the wicked Russians. Well, supposedly the Russians are friends today, you know. And then we had to, well, that communists have never really been our enemy. In communist China, we've done everything we could to build them up and transferred literally hundreds of billions, if not trillions of dollars to them, encouraged our manufacturers to go over to give them special deals and tax breaks and rewards and guarantees if they'd simply move the manufacturing out of America. Why would you do that? Well, we've got these spy satellites up there supposedly guarding us from something. But of course, they're using those spy satellites now to spy on the American people. And you can actually go up on the Internet and you can actually see your home on those satellites. They're watching you and everything you do. And the average American doesn't understand. And they're putting up the video cameras every place in the stores. And of course, we're putting the RFID chips onto so many of the items. And certainly every farm animal in the United States is to be, chipped so that they can be identified and tracked, all in the name of course protecting the food supply. We want you to understand that, but it's really all about eventually everything and every individual will be chipped here, and you'll neither buy nor sell lest you wear the mark of the beast or be known by the number of his name. And this is what's coming down the line. We've got lots of information on that. I mean, DVDs on Spy Check. We've got books on Spy Checks and four tape sets on the spy chips. They're watching you. They're planning on tracking every individual. It's all part of this whole for all program of sustainable development.
Well, let's assume that a listener has either learned enough or is about ready to learn enough to substantiate in their own within their own frame of reference the seriousness and the challenge that sustainable development is posing for all Americans, really for all people. Well, my suggestion is once you get yourself to that point, the first step to take after that is to begin to review your own circumstance. It would be advantageous to get out of debt, at least the kind of debt that lingers. If nothing else sticks, you know, your debt will stick to you, you know, like your credit card debt. You know, you want to be out of debt. You want to have a living situation that you can, to the extent possible, you want to have a living situation where if all things hit the fan, that you have a place to survive. You're not out roaming or begging. Now, this is talking about preparing for the worst. We can continue to hope, meaning work for the best, But we do need to prepare for the worst, particularly when the worst picture can be drawn that makes it not so make-believe, because the dynamics of sustainable development, the dynamics of fiat money, are closing fast. And I think the next couple years is going to be very, very challenging. So you want to get your debt under control. You want to have some silver so you can begin to barter if the dollar does break, so that you can still get food or other necessities, because people will pop up in an effort to help themselves and do that by helping others. And having a medium of exchange will facilitate that process. You want to have your mind on where it is you can have a food source. You know, if distributions to Safeway break down, you grow food in your own backyard. Well, if you've got a backyard, that's a good use of your backyard. There are places in Oregon that have already prohibited that in an effort to squash any self-help, you know, timing of concern. And you want to be sure you've provided for your own security in some method. And ultimately, that includes, I think, beginning to coalesce with others who are seeing the same signs, so that together you can work individually and collectively for maintaining the life of a free person under difficult circumstances. Now, if you've done that, if you've prepared for the worst, it becomes a whole lot easier to jump out and get involved in the defensive charge. Every town, I don't care where you are in America or in any English-speaking country, your town is being transformed by the international NGO globalist organizations that are designed with tool chests for bringing your community within your nation into the global to local chain. That means the implementation of sustainable development philosophy and policy, which means the derecognition by government of your unalienable right to life, liberty, or property. The attack first begins on property, on rural landowners particularly, will spread into suburban dwellers. The goal is to put everyone in Stack'em and Pack'em metro areas where the people become, in effect, in these smart growth cages while the animals roam freely outside. That's what lures the hardcore environmentalists into the leadership of sustainable development activities at the university in your community or at the Native Plant Society or Audubon Society organizations within your community. And they have a lot of pull with politicians in both parties, Democrats especially. So the world view under sustainable development changes. Human beings are simply another one of the many species on Earth. And of course, that elite band of earthlings, of human earthlings, will make the decision on the quotas for species by species, because of the value judgment, they are neutral about the superiority of the human species to other species. Now, if that sounds equalitarian or democratic, I don't want any part of that. Because a politics that doesn't recognize the unique character of human beings is a politic of evil. It pervades our entire political system today. So after you've gotten yourself prepared, get ready to find a position on the field. There are plenty of openings. There's a lot that needs to be done soon if we're going to mitigate the consequences of the fiat collapse. So I invite people to our website. Our purpose from the start was to create a series of tools that people could use to help themselves and to help their communities, their neighbors, their friends, their relatives understand what we're facing. It's a global to local attack. We can't just wait on organizations to solve the problem in Washington, D.C. Sure, there's a problem in D.C., but the problem in your community is sprouted right in your community. And unless you get the involvement of the NGOs with all of your local politicians, because they don't know what they're doing, they don't want to know what they're doing, they lose support of their parties if they get to know what they're doing. So what you need to do is to get the community, the neighbors, the citizens, understanding. So the movement to reverse and undo sustainable policy can begin. That can only start at your local school boards, your local city councils, your water districts. It is, you know, the essence of sustainable development is to pervade a community, to find the key war issues, control of water here in the West, the big control issue. And everywhere, education is a big control issue. So you need to begin to inform the community so that we get to a point where people familiar with the educational transformation can come in and say, we're not participating.
You know, I think it's so interesting. They get the people on the water board, and they spend hundreds of thousands of dollars for studies. But they never do anything, to build reservoirs or do the things to pool the water, to protect the water. They don't want a solution. They want the problem. And we've seen time and again here in areas where we live, their efforts to block the people on the water board spending fabulous amounts of money on studies, but never doing anything to improve the water situation because, of course, they want to use the water to control the populace. When you understand that, so much of what's going on makes sense. Otherwise, you have to scratch your head and say, why would they do these things? Why would they block, as they did in our community, this Ayeti reservoir, which would have given us adequate water for this county for 100 years? Because they didn't want a solution. They wanted a problem. Go right ahead.
Well, the best suggestion, although there's a number of organizations around the country that deal with sustainable development and exposing it for what it is, but my suggestion to average listeners is to look at our pamphlets. We have three pamphlets on the subject generally, taking different perspective views of sustainable development policy, and read any combination or each of those pamphlets. You can download them at our website. You can order them at nominal costs, just publication costs, basically, and circulate it to others. Help create a budding awareness of the action plan that is causing all the problems we see and is responsible for all the real anxieties that we ought to be feeling, because the times are not comfortable. And they're going to become permanently demeaning if we don't grab up and do something soon. And when I say permanently, I mean for millennia. Our generation, baby boomers, have added to this problem. But if baby boomers in their natural life cycle don't see an end to this globalist push for one world order, I think we will be seen in history as the condemners of the posterity.
And, of course, the thing is that the people think that the baby boomers are going to retire, there's going to be money in Social Security, there's going to be money for Medicare and for Medicare drugs, and the truth of the matter is there isn't any money, and they're going to run out in just a couple of years. They know there's just no money. They've already spent all of the money. And they say, well, we have a trust account. Yeah, it's full of government IOUs, and you know what government IOUs are when the government is going bankrupt. And until people understand that we're looking at the impoverishment of the American people and the people, many of them, even the pension funds. I mean, here in California, the public utilities or the public employees fund lost 30% of its value last year. It's going to probably lose that again that much this year. Even Harvard, Stanford, all of these people are losing the value of their pension funds. And an awful lot of people are going to begin wondering, will I be able to retire, or I'm going to have to work until I die? And this is exactly what is being created. This didn't happen by accident. But the same people are pushing sustainable development, are pushing the destruction of our monetary system and the impoverishment of our people. Michael, God bless you. Thanks very much for being with us. We'll look forward to talking to you real soon.
Thank you, Dr. Stan.
Good night and bye-bye. Okay, fine. Well, that was Michael Shaw, and we just hope you enjoyed our conversation with him. We have Michael on every month because his subject is so vitally important. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and we hope you enjoyed our program. We think sustainable development is a very important subject. We have a DVD on the sustainable development. We have certainly a syllabus on sustainable development, and we have information on global warming, a great DVD on global warming. It's a scam. But what's the solution to global warming? More government control over your life, a dramatic reduction in the utilization of electricity, and of course what they're going to do is drive the price up so high, you're not going to be able to afford electric heating or air conditioning, and that's what they want, is to lower your living standards. That's why the four-tape set on sustainable development, the syllabus on sustainable development, the DVD, sustainable development, the road to world order are so vitally important. And then, of course, if you really want to understand what's going on financially, you need to read my November 2008 newsletter. It's up on the Internet if you don't have access to the Internet. And you get something else, you can request a copy of that. This whole financial scam was created, and it took them a long time to do it. But why did they? What did they hope to accomplish? They want to bring about a world government. You can go up on the Internet and pull down Henry Kissinger's article just a few days ago in the International Herald Tribune, and he will tell you we're moving towards world chaos, unless, of course, we go into a new world order. The New World Financial Order, the New World Order. You need to read that article. If you don't have access to it, we'll be glad to send you a copy. And basically, Henry Kissinger's letting the cat out of the bag, but this is what it's all about. This is why they've created the problems they have. This is why, of course, they, you know, have created the war over in Gaza. They want international troops stationed there, and eventually they're going to have their international troops in Jerusalem. Everything is moving us towards the destruction of individual freedom, and of course the imposition of a tyranny by the ruling elite, who worked through the Trilateral Commission, the Bilderbergers, the Council on Foreign Relations, the Group of 30, but they are all tied into the occult, and that is what everybody's missed. And that's why you need my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. That's Brotherhood of Darkness. That's why, of course, you need my talk on the forbidden secret and the syllabus that goes with that. That's why you need my talk on the planned police state and the syllabus that goes with that. And there you'll actually read some of the writings of the people who come from the other dimension. And yes, they talk about the beings from the other dimension, and of course the plan, and they have a capital P for plan, and that's called the workings of the spiritual hierarchy. The workings of the spiritual hierarchy, and if you haven't read it, why, of course, you give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. If you get anything at all that we offer, why, we'll be glad to send you the workings of the spiritual hierarchy. There really is another dimension. That's where, of course, the UFOs come from. That's why Ouija boards work. This is why mediums work. We can read all about mediums, so we can see them. They're dramatized on television, and we believe that these people have the supernatural power when it's on television. But in real life, there really are people who do have that power. And if you've never, of course, read the book by Joanna Michelson, The Beautiful Side of Evil, Joanna was a medium. Or you can certainly get our four-tape set that has several interviews with her called The Supernatural. Or you can get Joanna's talk that she gave at our last conference on the 26th of October, going into the background of the supernatural realm that she was part and parcel of. This is not imaginary. It is very real. And until you understand that these people of great wealth, many of them have gotten their wealth because they have made an agreement with the prince of this world, Lucifer, at that point, you can begin to understand what's going on. You need to get the DVDs. They sold their souls for rock and roll. They sold their souls for rock and roll, the 3-hour, the 4-hour, the 10-hour version. You need to get the DVD of The Secret Mystery of America's Beginning, The Secret Mystery of America's Beginning, or Riddles in Stone. That's Riddles in Stone. The DVD, The Emergence by Constance Cumby. The DVD, The Atlantis Connection by Cres Pinto, who put up The Secret Mysteries because, of course, America is to be the new Atlantis, to bring the whole world into the new world order. Please pray for Radio Liberty for our provision and protection.